ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Yeah, I'm not sure what sort of my trademark is. I think that's for other people to decide. But I remember Mick was quite funny. He's really big on consistency, and if you could perform well in big games, that meant a lot to him. And I was scared of Mick for basically my whole career, so I really do want to let Mick down. And, he was a fantastic coach.
Soon to be AFL Games record holder Scott Pendlebury. 432 appearances so far, and he's only scared of Mick Malthouse. His former coach is on to break down the Magpies' achievement. We've also got the man he's surpassing, Brent Boomer Harvey. You would be hard-pressed to find better people to speak on the subject of Pendlebury and what he's achieved. Both are here to tell you he's far from done. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily. We're going to kick things off with Brent Boomer Harvey. Boomer, it's been 10 years since you broke this record yourself. Is it a record you kind of expected to hold forever? Like, what's the feeling like to pass the torch?
That's actually a really good question, because I never really thought, you sort of, when you hold the record, you sort of, you know, the guys that are around you or could possibly break it if everything went well, and Scott was certainly one of them. But as it etched closer and closer, you knew he was always going to get there. Oh, I think he could probably, I don't know, can he play next year? I think he probably could and get the 450 game. So that will be an amazing achievement within itself.
If my form's good enough and my body holds up, that's a discussion that I'll have later on in the season. But, yeah, I feel good and, I'm almost over some niggles that I need to get over. But, yeah, feeling good.
I haven't reflected too much in this little past because it's been so busy with a lot of stuff around the Pendle stuff. It is a good achievement, though. Like, we just had... we just had a photo shoot then with all the 400 games, guys that have played 400 games, and there's six of us. So that's not a lot in terms of how many players have played the game. And we don't get together very often, only when someone's breaking a record or joining the 400 club. But, Scott did it last year, and now he's breaking the record this year. So we've seen each other a fair bit in the last two years. So it's actually a great group. It's a different, diverse group, but it's a good group. It's always good catching up with them.
Boomer, is there one common denominator around the durability and longevity of the group of players who have made it to 400+?
No, I don't think there's one. I think there's probably two or three. One certainly being a little bit of luck. There's not too many of us guys, and we're just talking about it, that had big injuries or a lot of injuries.
So, like, there's injuries for sure. But, yeah, luck, mum and dad, good genetics. And a good club and a good management program.
So that's definitely one part of it, the luck part of it. The other part of it is playing finals footy. Tucky just said he played in seven grand finals. I think it's seven premierships. Like, that is unbelievable. Mm. And the grand finals he didn't win, or the finals he didn't win. He's played probably two extra seasons of football just in finals than most other people. So I've played a lot of finals. Pendle's obviously, Shawnee Burgoyne, four flags, KV. I think he might have been at three or four as well. So unbelievable amount of finals between the six of us. So I think that's got something to do with it as well.
Mick Malthouse, you coached Scott in his early days and have watched him since. If you had to pick a strongest suit for him, is it the athleticism? Is it the skill? Or is it more football IQ?
I think what you've got to do is look at the 400 game players. And there's a common trait. One is that they've got through without a lot of injuries. Dusty Fletcher probably got more suspensions than anyone, but that probably cut him down 20-odd games that he would have got. But so that's number one. Two is they've got a high football IQ. There's no question about that. But they've also got speed. And in Scott's case, he hasn't got great leg speed. He is across the ground fine, but he's got great brain speed. So he reacts very quickly. I played with a bloke called Kevin Bartlett, who was one of the most outstanding players I've ever played with. Very quick in the brain. I coached against Burgoyne. He was another one that was like that. Brett Harvey coached against him. He had raw speed and ability. Played against Michael Tuck. Michael was just a hard worker. In fact, I think Michael might have played two or three years in reserves before he even got a senior game. So it shows you how he went about it. So they've all got a uniqueness, but staying sound is one of them, and also just adapting to the game. Over 20 years that Scott been playing, the game's changed marginally. They say you get this modern game. I noise the hell out of me, this modern game. But he's been able to adjust to it and stay relevant to the game.
The ageless one, Pendlebury, a phenom. pops it through. His second of the day. And it's the biggest day he's ever had.
Boomer, you've lived this experience previously and you're now watching it play out for Scott Pendlebury. How do you think it compares? We're seeing things like special edition wines, the gold jumper, the fanfare. How do you think it's grown or changed from your experience?
Yeah, look, footy in general, the news coverage, social media, it's all changed in a short period of time. And you go back 10 years ago now since I broke the record, things are completely different. Well, not completely different, but just more advanced in everything you can do. And, they made a big song and dance about it around the Collingwood Football Club, but in a really good way. Everyone's more open to everything now. Again, 10 years ago, you'd do something, everyone would go, oh, that's corny or whatever. Now it's open slather. You can do whatever you want. So I think people are more receptive to it.
The other part is the financial windfall that Pendlebury is set to make through all the initiatives outside of the game itself. Did you have a similar experience? And are we just talking about it more this time around?
Yeah, I can remember when I broke the record and 427 was the game. So I signed 427 jumpers. And you get a signing through fee through the AFLPA. Now, Collingwood are, I'm going to say, a bigger club than North Melbourne in terms of members and everything like that. So I'm sure he's going to sell a lot more merch than I ever did. You know what? He's broke the record. He deserves to get a good win out of this as well. So I reckon it's fantastic that he can make a lot of extra money.
I can only imagine how many people are trying to get in touch with Pendlebury this week. What was that like for you, everyone coming out of the woodwork to get a slice of him ahead of such a big achievement?
Yeah, I did call in the Collingwood Football Club last week to do a voiceover and Scott was in there doing something and I did say to him, mate, you're going to be sick of yourself. At the end of this, it was a week for me, it's a fortnight for Scott because he didn't play last week. I said, you're going to be sick of seeing yourself on the TV, hearing yourself on the radio, seeing yourself in the paper, and it's just everything is, you know, he won't be able to leave the house without somebody saying, congratulations, good luck. And it does wear you down, and all you want to do is really play the game of football.
You know, I've stuck to a process that I've run through for a long period of time, and, you know, if anything, it's a bit of a challenge for me this week to make sure I can, you know, stick to that and, acknowledge the, you know, the champions that turn up for this stuff today and, you know, the occasion. But most importantly, I really want to get a win.
It's really strange, but I got to the end of the week and just thought, I wish this game could be played on a Tuesday, or it could have been played on a Tuesday, because you just get over yourself. And yeah, I could sense him today, just the way he spoke. He was like, yeah, let's make this short and sharp. I want to put this behind me and get the training.
Mick, going all the way back to when you first met and worked with Scott at Collingwood, what was it that stood out to you about Pendlebury?
Most players you get have got an X factor. Scott's X factor probably was more about his professionalism at the time. Not saying the others weren't, but the others were just good 18-year-old kids just enjoying life and being drafted by a football club. I just thought that Scott was a bit different in as much as he didn't seem to be there just to have a bit of fun. He wanted to be a very good footballer.
That sort of resonated with me because I didn't want to be a guy that only played well when the side played well, and I didn't want to, you know, perform poorly when the side performed poorly. So I wanted to be really consistent and level no matter what the game threw up.
And that doesn't necessarily mean he's going to go and play 400 games, be a Norseth medalist, be an Anzac Day medalist, be anything. It just simply means that he was a little different.
Mick, you coached him. Boomer, you played against him. What made him such a formidable player and opponent?
Oh, I think it's the ability that he had to slow the game around him and make amazing decisions. Every decision he makes, he seems to hit a target. And that's not something that everybody can do. He's just ahead of the game by his mind. And then he looks like he's in slow motion, but clearly he's not.
The goey gathers it. Pendlebury, room to step, steady, and finish. Class shows.
He was really hard to play against in that aspect because he just always used the ball. When he had the ball, you had to put a lot of pressure on him because he was going to use the ball so well. His strength is certainly slowing the game around him and bringing his teammates into the game.
Mick, most Collingwood fans have to be drawn to the Norm Smith performance of the 2010 Premiership that you coached. Is there anything from that game, that week, given it was the replay, that jumps out to you about what sums up Scott?
It's on record that he wasn't well the previous week. We went in at half time. The only thing I can remember, it's a long time ago, at half time, I just don't know whether we really realised we could win the game but needed to go through the same tough, hard, unrelenting football. So I reckon we backed off and allowed St Kilda back in the game. And once someone gets back in the game, it's very hard to stop. And we're probably lucky to get away with it. The following week, I know it's only a small sample, but very few players who play in a drawn grand final repeat the same performance. That happened to be the third grand final, so it's, as I say, it's only a very small sample. So I was buoyed by the fact that Hayes and Goddard, who played sensational the week before, maybe become a little bit fragile in the fact of that we were going to make sure that they once identified themselves as the key components. Not that you didn't know that, but they had such a massive impact that we're able to nestle in on them and sort of take them out of the game a little bit. And Scott was part of that process. So he, Swan, Wellingham, particularly in the middle, Jolly in the ruck, were able then to negate St Kilda's midfield, and Scott was part of that, and he was a very, very good part of it, as you've said, the Norm Smith medalist.
Goes backwards now to Swan, racking up, getting the footy. Dabs in short to Pendlebury, three of the superstars for the Pies.
Number 10, Scott Pendlebury.
Boomer Mika said before that he thinks you still had a lot more left to give.
Well, as an observer looking in, I thought Harvey had at least another year. He hadn't lost his pace.
Did you feel that way as well? And what would you say to Scott if he was weighing up a similar decision?
To answer the first part of your question, yes, there was no secret that I thought my football was good enough to go on for another year. And I certainly wanted to do that.
Hands Harvey. There's the run. He says the right, you Shepherd, I'll run. Beautiful kick to Thomas.
I think Scott's decision will come down to his performance in the second half of the year. If he's performing at a high level, which he has for 21 years, I think it's a yes for Scott. I think he'll go again. If it just drops off, if his performance just drops off and things are not going the way he would love him to go, that might be another question that only he can answer. Only he can answer. I love footy, so I just want to play. Even when I finished at North Melbourne, I went and played local football with my brother. But I think it does come down to performance when you're a little bit older. Scott will be the only one that can certainly make up his mind around whether he thinks his performance is as good as where it needs to be and how the Collingwood Football Club needs it to be as well.
Mick, would you tell him to keep going? Is there more footy in Scott Pendlebury?
I think the norm of 30 used to be, well, you just get hit at a wall. There's no norm anymore. You know, 33, 34 could be the old 30. I just don't think that when you're summing up a player's abilities, you shouldn't be looking at his age, you should be looking at his content. What does he produce? Can he produce it again? Well, the simple fact is, if anyone watched the Anzac Day game this year, he was clearly best of ground. Essendon didn't go anywhere near him, but he created a little vacuum around him where he was able to get the football, use the football without any consequences. And that, to me, is an indicator. That's how he plays.
Look out when it's in the hands of Pendlebury. This way, that way, and he has got it.
Scott Pendlebury is a player that is very much in the top 10 Collingwood players every week. So I don't see any reason why he shouldn't proceed to play another year. Let him weigh it up at the end of the year. But if he still loves the game, that's number one. If he still loves the game, he's uninjured, he's no doubt about his ability, and he's playing good football, why stop? There is no earthly reason to stop.
Boomer Harvey, Mick Malthouse, thanks so much for revelling in this achievement with us.
No worries, anytime.
No, pleasure.
Headlines. South Sydney Rabbitoh Jai Arrow has spoken for the first time since revealing his MND diagnosis. Talking to Channel 9, the former Queensland rep said that he is determined to fight the disease for as long as he possibly can.
I want to do everything I can. Any trial, any medication that, you know, will maintain me for as long as possible. I want to inspire as well. I want to inspire other people who have, you know, been diagnosed.
Football, where Aston Villa's joined Arsenal in breaking a drought in 2026. They won the Europa League title, ending a 30-year wait for silverware. They overcame Freiburg 3-0. You know who loved it? Future King of England, Prince William, caught on camera going bananas in the stands. And in the NBA, the Western Conference Finals are heating up. It's tied one game apiece after OKC took Game 2 off the back of a big game from League MVP Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He had 30 points, 9 assists. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily, produced by Poppy Penny. Thanks to Channel 7 and Channel 9 for the extra audio used in this episode.